I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. A black judge in Atlanta got into trouble recently. He asked a group of white lawyers to leave the courtroom. Then Superior Court Judge Marvin Arrington gave a room full of black defendants a tongue-lashing, asking them to think about and change the downward spiral of their lives. Judge Arrington later called his actions a mistake, but he also said he felt he couldn't talk to the defendants effectively with whites in the room. So right now we turn to our own judge and contributor, Lynn Toler. She says Judge Arrington's conduct brings up key questions about how black judges bring their own racial views into the system. Judge Toler is with us now. How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. So, you know, a lot of us, I think, frankly, almost all of us who are African-American say, you know what, I need to, you know, each one teach one, lift somebody up. But when you're a judge, you have a very particular role, and it's a role where you are at somewhat of a remove. Even though you're facing the defendants, you are not on the same level with them. How do you make sense of what Judge Arrington did?
I understand what Judge Arrington did completely. And I have to tell you why. Though we must be removed, we are nonetheless human. It is the easiest thing in the world to do is to be removed if you don't care. But if you have the nerve to care, and if you see what we see on a daily basis, his humanity and his caring came together that day and made him do something clearly he shouldn't have done. He knows that, but it was an error of the heart that I find fully condonable.
So what other ways, you know, you say that you approve of the sentiment, not necessarily of the execution. How else may he have gone about this?
I think he could have said it in front of the white judges, in front of the white attorneys. In my courtroom, I for a year and a half wouldn't say anything directed towards a defendant that had anything to do with race because I felt it was inappropriate. But my second thought about it was, my job is to deal with this individual as best I can. And if I feel that I can touch him, reach him, get to him by mentioning, dealing with, or encompassing race in the conversation, I have an obligation to do so. And I can't worry about what white people are out there looking at me, because my job is with respect to him. So I say it.
You know, this issue hit home with you recently during the taping of your show, Divorce Court. Tell us what happened.
What happened is I broke one of my mother's rules, and my mother's rule is don't let your emotions straddle events. I had come home, I had come to work, and my husband was in the emergency room when I called home. One son was sick and the other one wasn't going to school. And I had my three wonderful men at home. I'm not taking care of them. And I got a third defendant there that day that was talking about how many babies he had with how many different black women, not only with a sense of shame, but with a sense of accomplishment. And with the backdrop of my great men that I live with, and there are so many great brothers out there who I wasn't taking care of, and this guy, the third guy that day that took pride in that which he was doing that was damaging his women and me, I took it personally. I got upset. I lost my composure. And I said something, and I said a whole lot of stuff, actually, and I wasn't sure what I said, and I made him play it back to me because I was afraid that I may have said something. I might have had an Arrington moment where my and I hope not to brand the brother with that because I love him and I understand what he did, but I may have gone too far. And I wanted to have an opportunity, which is great, you can do it on TV, but you can't do it in real life, to review what you said in a moment of passion.
So give me an example of what you said, not necessarily the language, but the meaning, the intent of what you said.
Is this it? Is this all I get? I took it personally, me to you. Is this the best we can do as a people? Is this the best you can do for me as a brother to a sister? Are we going to live down to the expectations of those people who disdain us? That was my message. My language was quite different. And I was afraid that my passion and my desire would get lost, got somehow lost in the anger that I was feeling.
Now, there's also the toll, you know, that this takes on judges. I mean, that's precisely what Judge Arrington said. He said, seeing the same black faces walk in and out of his courtroom year after year takes its toll. When you first became a judge in Cleveland Heights, Ohio, did you feel like it was something that you brought home with you, that you felt a weight on yourself?
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, I'm a control freak and I'm goal oriented. I took recidivism personally. Every time I saw that same guy or some woman come back in, it was a failure on my part. And I did. And it hurt me. And I've cried. I've made defendants cry. I had the whole courtroom crying once because my sense of hurt was so real and so immediate. And everybody talks about the problem in general, or they're dealing with one person. I used to get the individual en masse, day after day after day. And after a while, if you don't care, it's fine. But once you do care, it is exasperating, exhausting, and you feel a sense of complete impotence in dealing with the issue.
What do you think about the debate that goes on in our community around this? Because Judge Arrington has now appeared in an event with Bill Cosby, who's been a big critic of what he sees as the negative sides of black behavior. So when you look at this, you look at your experience with seeing the same people go in and out of court, with having people come on your show and disrespect the idea of trying. Mm-hmm. Do you think that the debate that's going on right now in our community is going to produce change, or could it divide us where some people say, I don't need your judgments?
I don't like the way the debate is going. And I tell you why. I think it's divisive. What Bill Cosby did is what Bill Cosby did. He could have stayed home with his millions and his wife and put his feet up on the table and done nothing. He was making an effort to make change. I read his book and I read the response to his book. In the response to his book, or some gentleman, and I can't remember his name, he said, I urge patience in the middle class as being indignant inappropriately. But Bill was caring. Now, whether or not his care was appropriate, I don't know. Whether it's going to be helpful, I don't know. But it at least starts the conversation. To attack him as being, the middle class, as if the middle class, having been successful, has abandoned blackness. And I think the way the debate is going is frightening. And my question to the people who respond to Bill Cosby, as you shouldn't have said it, is what now? I mean, what do we do instead? And if you got something for me, let me know.
I think we're all thinking about it and working on it. But I just wonder if, you know, do you think that the defendants who've come in to your courtroom have a sufficient social network so that they see other people doing better or, you know, improving their lives so that they can even have anything to pattern it on?
Absolutely. And I think that's a huge part of the problem. And what I would do in my court, I had a program for men and a program for women, because even if I spark something in you with what I say, you're going to go back into an environment where everybody's telling you something else. And I don't have the ability, that constant contact. So what I think is at least a part of the solution is when we do something, to take a small group and to stay with them. I stayed with a group of girls for a year at a time for over a decade, and I did see two or three people who called me a couple years later, Judge, I just want to tell you how well I am doing. It's not a great answer. It's not the answer everybody wants to hear, because it's not a panacea, and it's work intensive while the success rate is low, but I think it's what has to be done.
Judge, always great to talk to you.
Always.
That was News and Notes contributor Judge Lynn Toler. She's a former municipal court judge and now hosts the syndicated television show Divorce Court. She joined us from the studios of KJZZ in Tempe, Arizona.